Live from the top of the Empire State Building. Get ready for the everyday entrepreneur experience. Sit back and crank up the volume. You're now listening to the Pest Equity Podcast.
Welcome all and welcome back to another episode of Pest Equity Podcast. I'm your host, Vinny E. On today's episode, we're going to be speaking to Christian Allen of TaylorMade Pest Control. And we're going to be discussing my journey in the journey. Welcome to the podcast, Christian.
Thank you, Vinny. Pleasure to be on here with you.
Glad to have you. All right, Christian, so let's give the audience a little bio of yourself. How many years are you in the pest control industry?
I've been in the pest control industry a little bit over 8 years, almost 9 years in February. That's kind of like, I guess everybody know, I wasn't really looking to be in pest control, but my dad went to high school with a guy that owned a company in Kentucky, and I was just looking for a job. So he offered me the job and I took it, and I was back in 2013, and I enjoyed it, but it never really was something that I thought I'd do. But as time went on, and I got more and more into it, I really enjoyed it, and I started to find myself reading after work, at home, on the weekends, when I got off work, before work, different materials about different, you know, about pests and researching. If I ran across pests that I didn't know, I would Google or search later to educate myself. And then I started watching different YouTube videos and started looking for different podcast series to learn as much as I can. And so it's just become a passion to where, you know, it's time for me to move on. So I'm starting my own pest control company this year, and actually just got word that I am fully licensed and certified now in Indiana. So today is technically officially my first day in business on my own.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's very exciting.
So Chris, I seen your story on TikTok about you labeled it my journey in the journey. You want to touch base on that, and what's that? You know, what's that all about?
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm just starting out, and you know, I know the technical in and outs about killing bugs and dealing with people and all that nature. But this is my first time starting a business, and I know there's probably a lot of people that are interested in starting a business on their own and might have a lot of questions or concerns. And, you know, it's just kind of going to be my video diary, per se, that's public to everybody, about different things that I'm running across throughout the day or things that I think about. I have a buddy that started his own company about 5 years ago, and he and I talk pretty much every day or every other day. And he gives me feedback. We run things across each other. So it's just, you know, short little videos about things that I run across throughout the day. Just let, you know, let other people know there are people like you and I out here that are starting their own business and we're not alone. And maybe little tidbits here and there that could be useful to different people on their own journey. And I just named it My Journey in a Journey because it is a journey. And then I drive a Dodge Journey. So I thought it was a little play on words, My Journey in the Journey.
Amazing. I'm going to be following, yeah. I'm going to be following your journey.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, definitely going to follow your journey. And if I could be of any help to you, feel free to reach out to me at any time.
I will. You are in my contacts. So if I have questions, you're going to be somebody I'll call or text.
Sounds great. So, Chris, as the owner and operator of TaylorMade Pest Control, you just said that you're operating in Indiana as of today. You also told me that you're in the works of operations in Kentucky. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
What are the steps that you need to take in order to be licensed in Kentucky?
So to be licensed to operate, own and operate a business in Kentucky, you have to have at least 2 years of experience, which can be proven by either a letter from your employer, or if you've worked in Kentucky and you've had your own license and certification, they'll just need the scanned copy of that emailed or mailed with the application to take the LPCO test, it's called. So then after showing that you've had 2 years of experience, you just need to apply for the test, which is, I believe, 250 questions, written questions, and then 40 pest identification questions. And you have to make at least a 70% or above. They only offer the test two times a year. So it's in November, and I believe the next one is in May. So the only requirements is that you have 2 years experience and you submit your application with the fee of $50 at least 30 days before the test date.
Okay, well, being that you're, you know, passionate for entomology, I'm sure that you're going to pass that, you know, like a breeze. I want to wish you good luck on that exam.
Thank you. I'm hoping so. So fingers crossed. I've been studying hard. So we'll see.
I'm sure you'll ace it.
And then the other thing too, also with the test, there is a supplemental 5-day prep course that Dr. Chris Christensen offers. It's a 5-day, 12-hour course. It's $1,500, and I am taking that. So I am going to Lexington next Thursday to take his course. And I think they say there's a 95% pass rate for the attendees that take his course and then go on and take the test.
I want to give you a little tip on when I used to take exams. I would always study the answers. So when I would read the question, it would come to me like 1, 2, 3. But as long, those prep courses are very good to take. I've taken a few in my day. And as long as you study the material, and I know that you're passionate about pest control, I'm sure you're going to ace that.
Well, I'm going to try. So
Chris, I read on your Instagram bio, it says, just a Japanese-American living the American dream. Could you touch on this and what it means to you?
Well, I'm Japanese by birth. I was adopted. And so pretty much I've lived my whole life in America, save for a couple years here and there. But, you know, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to live in this country. It's a country that has a lot of opportunities. I reflect a lot. And so there's a lot of times where I'm reflecting and I just wonder what my life would be different or how it would be different if one, I wasn't adopted and two, I wasn't living in the United States. And so I know there's a lot, not getting political. I know there's a lot of, you know, different things about what's wrong with America or what needs to be fixed. And obviously there's a lot of things that need to be fixed in the country, but overall, it is by far, to me, the best country in the world with the best opportunities for people like you and me who don't just want to be average and be like a worker in society that want to do more. So, you know, I knew early on that I didn't know necessarily I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I knew that I didn't follow to the beat of the drum like everybody else. I always questioned things. It wasn't as if he told me something, I didn't just do it. I always asked why. And I always challenged norms and I didn't want to take, you know, what people say is right or average as just truth without challenging it and or seeing if there's another way that might be even better than what everybody else is doing. So to me, it's just, I'm Japanese, but I'm a Japanese American and living the American dream. So right now, I'm starting my journey as an entrepreneur, as an owner-operator of his own company. And to me, that's the American dream. The American dream isn't one set thing. It's whatever is you're passionate about and you're able to pursue that you enjoy, and you make it a success. You make it a reality. And so that's just what my bio means.
I totally agree with you. And I come from immigrants as well, so I totally understand where you're coming from. And God bless America.
Yep.
Chris.
Yes, sir.
I was looking on your Instagram, and you're probably like, you're probably like, Vinny, you're a stalker. But I seen a really cool idea, and I was actually thinking about doing it as well. I seen that. How did you come with the whole tactical vest idea for doing like roach cleanouts and IPM service?
Well, like I said, I've been in the industry for over 8 years. And for the first couple of years, I just had everything that my employer provided me. But then I guess like year four, year five, I started, you know, really, that's when my interest really peaked. And so I started doing my own research. And I guess just being a young person, I love technology. I love innovation. I love trying to find something new that's not only interesting, but will make my life as a technician easier. So throughout the years, I've bought different newer equipment that's come out. I've watched videos on different equipment and products that's come out, and just always looking for a better way to provide superior service to our customers. And so the tactical vest was just something that I don't really like the tool belts per se, because I feel like with the stuff around my waist, it just gets in the way. And then I had a caddy on my 1 gallon B&G sprayer that I liked, but that just made that sprayer 10 times heavier. So I didn't like that. So I've been using like a tool bag, backpack that I carry most everything in. And while that's convenient, but in order to reach things, I have to take it off to get to everything. And so I, you know, looked around at different tool vests and things. And to me, they just didn't have the pockets that I was looking for to hold the majority of things that I would need handy while I'm providing a service. So the tactical vest, you know, was something that came across my Amazon for whatever reason. And so I looked at it and I'm like, it has pockets for, you know, gel baits, places to put glue boards. And I mean, where you could carry a firearm, you can put your bait gun there. And then I flashlight holders and everything. So I pretty much anything I need, I can have strapped to my chest right in front of me. So I can be on the ground going in a cupboard. And if I need a different gel bait, I don't have to crawl out of the cupboard to get a new cartridge of gel bait. I can just get my pocket, snap it in, and keep baiting for the roaches while I'm working. So it's just to make it more efficient and easier on me.
Chris, you should try to patent that idea.
I just might. If it works, I might make my own vest.
Don't forget Vinny now.
I won't forget you. I'll give you all the credit.
All right, Chris, are you ready? I'm going to put you on the hot seat now.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go, buddy. What's the biggest challenge you're facing in your role, your business right now, and how are you tackling it?
My biggest challenge right now, I think, is making sure I have everything, all my ducks in a row, and completing or getting everything that I need finished so I can run an effective, efficient business. Just starting out, so don't even have any customers yet. But the way I'm tackling this is just by being organized and making a list. So we all have a $1,500 computer pretty much in our pockets all the time. So I'm a big component of lists. I've always hated lists because I was never responsible enough to carry a pen and paper with me at all times and to write things down as I think of things and check things off. Well, now with the phone, I have the reminder app. I just, if I need something done today or tomorrow, I'll type it in my phone, set the reminder to remind me on a specific day and time that things need to be done by. And it's just like a checklist. So, you know, I need to get my license. I need to get the insurance. I need to buy chemicals. Anything that I think of throughout the day, I just take a few seconds out of my day, put it on that list, and then it will remind me when I set the reminders for, so I don't have to remember to look at my list. It will tell me to look at my list myself and to tackle each thing, you know, that way. And then also being organized. Can't remember who told me, but somebody said to make a list, not only to things, a to-do list, but like a goal-oriented list of things. And it's just based off of like the traffic, like red light, green light, and yellow light. So red light is things that need to get done now, ASAP. Yellow light is things that need to be done, you know, but not any hurry. So maybe within a week or two. And then green light is like futuristic things that need to be done, that need to be done still, but can be maybe a month out before they get done. So I have two different types of lists going to help me tackle being organized and making sure I get everything done when I need to get done.
I totally get it. I mean, that's a great way to structure your business from onset. A lot of people don't take that advice and then they don't know what's going on. I totally remember when I first started in the beginning, I would say like the first 3 years, I wore every hat in the business until I was able to build my team. So I commend you on that and stick to it and slowly but surely wins the race.
I agree with that. So that's the motto I'm living by, trying to do things right the first time so I don't have to redo things. Work smarter, not harder.
So Chris, moving on, what is the most important lesson you've learned over your entire career?
The most important thing I think I've learned is probably customer service and relations. Just treating people the way you want to be treated. I was 21 when I started in the industry, so my people skills weren't polished and weren't anywhere near where it needed to be. But just working with people and meeting people every day, different people every day from different walks of life, you just realize that most everybody are the same. As long as you treat them well and you treat them with respect, they'll give you the respect that you want in return. And so it's just, you know, if they have a problem, educate them, give them, you know, the details of what you found, what their problems are, and then what your solution is. And, you know, they'll listen to you. And, you know, if they want to go with you, then they'll go with you. And it's just not being pushy, just being honest up front. And people know if you're being honest and upfront, they can see through the BS. And if you're not being honest and truthful, or if you just don't know, there's been a lot of times where I didn't know. And instead of just making up an answer out of, you know, out of thin air, I just told them, I don't know. But I know some people that I know a guy that will know. So give me a few minutes. I'll call him. I'll see what it is. If he doesn't know, then I'll tell you we don't know, and I'll look at it later tonight, and I'll figure out what you got, and I'll get back with you. You know, you can't really, you know, might take some time to figure out what they have and resolve their issue. At least you're being honest with them, and they know either A, we need to find somebody else, or B, this kid is being honest with us, and he's going to figure out what we got, and we'll get it resolved, versus trying something, saying that you know what they have, providing a treatment and it's not working. And now you're looking like a goofball because you just tried something that was maybe or maybe not going to work, but you could have just been upfront with them and be like, hey, I don't know. Let me figure it out and we'll get to a good solution.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying, and it's, that's the best way to go about it. You know, IDing, you know, the problem is the way you want to go, because, I've told many customers along my career, you know, cheap is expensive. Like, everyone wants something done, you know, quick, fast, in a hurry. But you need to understand why the issue is occurring, so then you can take the next step in order to bridge that gap to solve the issue that's actually occurring.
Right. I agree with that.
So, Chris, in your opinion, what is the most important personality trait and strength someone would need to work, not only in a pest control industry, but a service-based business to be successful at their job?
There's a couple. So I think the first and foremost is just being honest, a person of character. You're going to make mistakes, and mistakes will happen. But if you own up to your mistakes, people are more willing to forgive. I guess the best story I have, it's kind of humorous, but I was servicing a neighbor's house, and they had the neighbor had like a retaining wall. And I noticed the retaining wall when I drove up and parked, but I forgot about it when I was coming out. And so I finished the service, got in my truck, got everything, was ready to go to my next service. And I drove off the retaining wall, and I kind of damaged the retaining wall. And, you know, it was like a, oh shoot moment. So I knocked on the neighbor's door and nobody was home, but I left a card and a note saying, hey, I damaged your wall. We'll want to get it fixed. Give us a call so we can resolve the issue. We did. And then we ended up getting her as a customer because her bug guy previously, unfortunately, had died, and she was looking for another service that provider that she could trust. And so she ended up going with us, and she's been a customer with us ever since. So it's not the most recommended way of getting a customer, but, you know, she appreciated that I was honest.
Yes.
And it worked out for the better. We got it fixed, you know, and she was happy and we're happy. So, yeah, that's first and foremost is just being honest. And then I think the second part is just being a self-starter. You know, it's just being a service provider, which are, whether it's HVAC or plumbing or pest control. We don't have, per se, a boss over top of us throughout our day. We're not in a store where our manager is right there watching every move that we're doing. We're out in a vehicle, we're out in a truck, and we're on the road all day by ourselves mostly, unless we ride in with somebody else. So you as the technician have to be responsible enough to do the work that's assigned to you, do it thoroughly and do it well, without somebody watching you constantly. Like if you're somebody that needs to be monitored 24/7, this isn't gonna work for you because you're your own boss per se while you're in your vehicle out throughout the day and a route. So I think those two keys go hand in hand together in making a successful service technician.
And one more thing I'd like to add on to that is you have to like to get your hands dirty. If you don't like getting your hands dirty, then the service base industries are not for you.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Can't be afraid to get dirty.
Chris, who has been your most important professional mentor?
Probably the most important mentor in my life professionally has probably been my friend, James Shields. I think I told you a little bit about him, Vinny, but
yes.
He started his company 5 years ago, scooping dog poop, Derby City Poop Scoop. But he started out with the company, SWAT Team Pest Control, and we worked together for, I think, 4 years. So that's how I met him. But I attribute him because he previously worked for a different company before he came and worked with us, that he saw different ways of treating different insects. And while I only knew one way, he came in knowing a whole plethora of different ways of killing different insects that work for different circumstances. So he challenged me to not only just continue to do the way I was taught, but also to remember that we're living with living organisms that evolve every day, and to keep an open mind and think outside of the box on how to solve an issue. And also challenged me to, if I run into a problem, not just to be okay with not knowing, but finding out the issue and coming up with a solution because I went and did the research. So he has been important in my growth as a pest control technician. And then he's also been a sounding board for me opening up and starting my business. He's bounced different ideas off of me, even though I never had or owned a business when he first started. And he went through a lot of growing pains, probably a lot of growing pains most entrepreneurs suffer through. But I mean, he's a successful business. He's about to do $430,000 this year, I believe. And he has been open and willing for me to see what he's done, see what's worked and what hasn't worked, and take the ideas and things that worked and implement it into my business. And then if I have a crazy idea, he'll just say, yeah, it's a great idea, or no, that's stupid, let's move on and figure something else out. So he's been a sounding board, he's been a mentor, and he's pushed me to be a better man and a better technician, which we all need. We can't just be hanging out with people that aren't going to challenge you. He challenges me, I try to challenge him. So it works hand in hand.
Sounds like you guys make good partnership.
I think so.
It's always good to have, you know, if you're going to go that route as far as partnership, to have people that share the same ideology with you. So you guys, it's like you guys finish each other's sentences.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we have a lot of the same ideas sometimes, and sometimes we have different ideas, but we talk often, and you know, it's just communication. So we bounce things off each other all the time. And, you know, he has a little more experience than I do now. So he's got a lot of words of wisdom that I implement. I don't implement everything. And sometimes he's right and I was wrong and I should listen, but that's life. So you live and learn, but he's a great guy.
Yeah. You have to take chances in business, you know, like we were speaking about a few days ago. You know, a mentor is not meant to hold your hand, but to give you, yep, you know, some type of advice from their story and for you to advance on that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So, Chris, I have a question here. It was emailed in by one of our followers, and I want to thank everyone that follows us on Instagram and Facebook. We reached a milestone of 700 followers, and to me, that means the world.
That's awesome, man.
I just want to say thank you to everyone. And if you haven't, please tag someone that the podcast would be beneficial to. And again, I appreciate each and every one of you and all your support. So, Chris, this question came in. I'm going to give it to you to answer. What's one lesson your job has taught you that you think everyone should learn at some point in their life?
That's a good question. I think the one lesson my job has taught me is don't be afraid to take chances. Don't be afraid to try new things, and realize that there's always going to be more than one way of doing things, and be open-minded to different ways of doing things. That just because I have so much experience, I don't know everything. And I might know everything, but I don't. But just because you might think you know everything, that doesn't mean things aren't going to change. You know, it's a little different in pest control because we're dealing with living organisms that are always evolving, always adapting, and the environment, the circumstances are always different. So one idea might work great for 9 different places, but that 10th place might be a problem. And so you have to be open-minded to different ways that maybe somebody that doesn't have as much experience as you thought of, and be okay with being like, you know, this is a good idea that you've come up with. Let's do it and let's see if it works. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, come up with a different idea. But don't be stuck in your ways and always be adapting and always be learning. Because the moment, I think my mom taught me this, the moment you stop learning is the moment you stop growing. And is the moment you're going to be in trouble as a person, but also a business. Because if you're not growing, you're stagnant, and more than likely you're going to be on the decline.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, did you always know that you wanted to be a pest management professional?
No, I didn't always know I wanted to be a pest management professional. I've always enjoyed science. So when the job was offered to me, it was interesting because you had to be dealing with insects and critters. And so that always interested me. I've always enjoyed science and nature, animals, exploring. So, and I knew a desk job wasn't going to be for me. And so this provided me to be out and about every day, get my hands dirty, work hard, and learn something new every day. And so that's probably one of the greatest things about it, something new every day. But originally, I started out because I just needed a job. And over time, it's become a career and a passion. And it's something that I really, really enjoy. And I'm thankful for that.
So, Chris, what's one thing about your field of expertise that almost no one agrees with you about?
I guess the one thing that I guess a lot of people don't agree with me with in the industry has to do with not about professionals, but I guess about the DIY, the do-it-yourselfers, that market. You know, I don't sell products. I don't sell to consumers, and I do provide a service that I wish everybody would buy so I can provide them a superior service. But with that being said, I know that 80% of the market aren't my customers, because those 80%ers are going to be those who are DIYers who are going to do it themselves. So that leaves 20% of that market for me to compete for, and probably only half of those 20% are actually my customers, because of, you know, I am providing a superior service that isn't going to be the cheapest. So with that understanding or that mindset that I have, I am okay with giving away my knowledge and things that has taken me 8 years to know. I'm willing to help and teach other people, even though that might potentially take away business from me, because I'm teaching people how to do it themselves. And the reason why I'm okay with that, and the reason why I am kind of an advocate for homeowners to be educated in pest control and entomology, is because one, pests are going to be something that we deal with on a daily basis, no matter what. No matter what we do, there's always going to be a pest that we have to deal with. And two, just from the history of pest control, and seeing all the different products that we've had that's now banned because of misuse. Now, you know, obviously there's professionals that misuse products, but probably the majority of the people that misuse products are most likely homeowners that have done it themselves. So if we want to continue to have great products to use, we are going to have to not only educate professionals on how to use them, but also educate the homeowners on how to use it so they can safely and effectively use it themselves. So we don't have products that are misused and are harming the environment, which in turn is going to ban those products. So while I'm not, you know, actively every day telling people how to do things, but the things that if somebody has a question, I'm willing to answer it. I've also started a couple Facebook groups for DIYers, and I've added other professionals in it. And I've gotten a lot of feedback from different professionals about, this is a bad idea, you're giving away trade secrets. And to those responses, it's, for me, it's just that in this day and age, we are in the age of information where they can Google different things. And a lot of things that they Google or see in other DIY groups are bad tips and bad information that leads to misuse. And if we don't stop that misuse, at some point, we're gonna have lots of different products that are good and environmentally safe when used appropriately that we're no longer gonna be able to use. So it's just kind of my mission to help educate people. But also I feel like that there's gonna come a point to where those DIYers are gonna come across something that they can't do and they can't solve. And so because I've been willing to provide them with information, they're going to see me per se as an expert, and hopefully they'll use me if they have a problem. So it's kind of a marketing thing, but also it's just because I care, and you know, I'm a human just like everybody else, and I do care about the environment. So it's more of trying to protect the environment at the same time being trying to protect the products that we have so we don't lose them all.
I totally agree with what you're saying. And being a veteran as well as an expert in the pest control industry, I've been an advocate against the DIYers. I feel that a lot of people, like you mentioned, need to be educated, like I said previously, on why they're having this situation rather than just how to treat the situation and put a Band-Aid on it. And in the meantime, they don't know the risks that are involved while applying, no matter what it is. You know, some people think just because they purchase something from a big box store that they cannot hurt themselves or hurt other people or the environment as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's sad, but it's also dangerous to see these different ideas that people give as advice that isn't sound or isn't safe. And that's kind of why I started the groups, is because I saw in other groups unsafe ideas being given out as advice to do. And it's like, no, don't do this. I'm not saying that because I'm a professional who's trying to get in your business. I'm saying that as a human being that cares about your well-being. And so maybe there'll come a time when products aren't available to your average consumer. But until that time, I think we as professionals need to be okay with educating people that, so not only they understand what we provide as a service, but also if they decide to do it on their own because they can, that they're going to do it in a safe manner that not only will protect their family, but the entire world.
Absolutely. When I was in the field many, many moons ago, I would always educate the, you know, the DIYers that you're basically wasting your money on these products, because if you read the label, which a lot of people seem to forget in our industry, you're not really doing yourself any favors, because the active ingredient as well as the, you know, the inert ingredients in that makeup really is not going to do anything for you. So if you really look at it, if you market that to your customers, that's a way in the door to show them the difference between not only the professional line of, you know, materials that we utilize, but also, like you said, our expertise in knowing about life cycles and your metamorphosis and so on and so forth.
Yeah, 100% agree with you, Vinny, on that.
Okay. So, Chris, I got one more question to ask you about the, you know, the business side, and then we're going to switch it up a little bit. So in your opinion, what underrated tools are indispensable for you when you're out in the field?
Well, I think the most indispensable tool that I have is the vehicle, because you got to get it from point A to point B. If you can't do that, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to provide any services unless you walk, and that could take forever. and then the second tool with the vehicle is probably my phone, because that has all the information I need for the customer. It also is my GPS, so it tells me how to get to places. And, you know, it's just an easy device for information and storing ideas and things that I might come across throughout the day. And then for the job itself, the most important tool is, one, I think your head, your mind, because you have to think. If you're not thinking, you're not going to be able to provide a great service. And then two is a flashlight. If you don't have a good, powerful flashlight, you're not going to be able to see anything, and you're not going to be able to see the problems to take care of them in the first place.
What type of flashlight do you have?
I have a rechargeable, I believe it's a 1,000 lumens flashlight that came in a 2-pack on Amazon. I think it was like $25. They're super cheap. I get cheap flashlights because I lose them everywhere. But the great thing about this flashlight I have, it's a magnetic back. So if I need something to hold it, I can stick it to a metal surface so it holds it for me. And it also has a black light, which comes in handy to try to find rodent urine and things of that nature while I'm doing my inspection. but 1,000 lumens give me the brightness I need to see different problems, especially in a crawl space or in a home. And then that black light comes in handy sometimes to find rodent issues that will be beneficial to me and the homeowner.
Oh, definitely. I've lost so many flashlights in my day. I can't even keep count.
Yeah.
Recently I purchased, it's also rechargeable. It's a small, I put it in the pocket of my shirt when I'm out in the field.
Yep.
And so far, you know, it's been, I haven't lost it yet.
Well, good. Hopefully you don't lose it today now that you just said that.
Seriously. All right, Chris, I'm going to move on to some personal questions.
Okay.
I hope you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Okay, so here we go. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
I think the first piece of advice I'd give my 18-year-old self is that my parents do know things, that they don't just say things that come out of thin air, that they've have years that they've lived, and to save yourself heartache, listen to what your parents and elders say, because they have life experience that will make your life easier instead of being hard-headed and doing the same mistakes they did, come to the same conclusion that they told you and could have saved you a lot of heartache. And then I think that's probably the biggest thing, is just not to be so hard-headed and listen to what your elders and parents tell you. Because I've started listening more now, but I wish I listened earlier, you know, different things like finances and how to get a job and people skills. So things that I'm implementing now that they try to tell me to implement when I was 18 and I didn't. So
I think we've all been there, Chris. I know exactly what you mean. And you get to appreciate, you know, your parents more. And I try to tell the youth that today the same thing. And I guess it's just, you know, that's life.
Yeah. You know, I think you have to live and you learn. They say that life is the best teacher. And I have to agree that you don't know things until you experience things. But if you can, listen to what people are telling you and learn from their mistakes, so you don't have to learn from your own mistakes.
Totally agree. So, Chris, tell me about the three most influential people in your life and how they impacted you.
Well, first and foremost is probably my parents, both my mom and my dad, because he's been there for me, helped pick me up from different times that I've fallen or made mistakes. He's been there for me, even though I might have been not so nice. He's always been there for me to support me. And then same goes for my mom. She fought for me when nobody else would. I don't necessarily have learning disabilities, but school was always a struggle for me. And when she married my dad and then came into my life, she fought for me, even though teachers were saying, no, he doesn't need this, and no, he doesn't need that. My mom's like, yes, he does need this, and yes, he does need that. And she had patience with me to help me learn so I can get through school and become the person I am. So they have been the most influential person for me. And then the second person would probably be my high school teacher or administrator. I went to a boarding school for 2 years in high school, and he helped me to not only see that my parents sometimes do have the right ideas and their hearts in the right places, but also help me mature and be more responsible as a person and as a young man. And I attribute a lot of who I am to him, because he was there for me and helped, was a mentor to me while I was growing and becoming a young man and the person I am today. And then the third person that's been influential to me is probably James Shields, my business mentor, because he's helped me grow a lot as a professional to help me be where I am today, to be at a place where I can start my own business and grow. And he has not only helped me grow as a professional, a pest management professional, but also as a person. So I am ready to take this leap of faith on my own.
Amazing. Chris, here's a fun one for you. What is your favorite holiday movie? And what does that say about you?
My favorite holiday movie. That's a good one. I don't know. Off the top of my head, it's probably Home Alone, the first one. And it probably says a lot about me because the kid found a way to, comically, found a way to protect his house from potential robbers. And while he didn't see eye to eye with his family at the time, he ended up finding that this is his home. He wants to protect it. He got bad guys coming, and he was going to defend it at all costs. And he didn't necessarily have the skill sets needed, but he found a way with whatever he had, and it worked.
Okay. So now I'm going to hit you with some off-base topic questions.
Okay.
Okay. If you had to write a book tomorrow, what would you write about?
So how to write a book. It would probably be about being a person of character, about just lessons that I've learned throughout life, about just being honest, about being truthful, about if you just tell the truth the first time, it saves from a mountain of problems in the future. And it's something that carries through in any aspect of life, whether that's a marriage, whether that's business, whether that's with friends, family, whatever the case may be, being somebody that's honest and truthful and trustworthy, it goes a long way, and to not only benefit you, but others.
Okay. So Chris, outside of business, what do you enjoy doing most?
I enjoy sports, football, baseball, hockey, basketball, or things that I enjoy watching. I have my favorite teams. You know, I say it's a red, white, and blue theme. You know, it's the Patriots, Capitals, 76ers, and Nationals. But I enjoy just watching sports just for fun, going to different events and games. It doesn't have to be a professional team. Doesn't have to be my team. I enjoy watching sports. I enjoy movies, kind of my wife's and I thing. We enjoy watching movies. We enjoy going to the movies. We enjoy watching movies that are streamed of all different genres. But one of the things that I find the most enjoyment in is learning, whether it's a podcast, listening to an Audible book, or watching a YouTube video or a documentary. I just enjoy learning about different things, whether it's how buildings are built or nature or whatever the case may be. I just enjoy learning things that most of it's probably unuseful information, but it's something that I can learn and maybe at some point implement in my life or business.
I totally get that. At one point, I was addicted to that show, How It's Made.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Great show.
That and Mythbusters.
Yes. So, Chris, I want you to explain to me what this flying axes is, please.
Flying axes is a place that lets you learn or teaches you how to throw axes. And then, they have different games that you can play with the axes being thrown. And it's funny, I did go with it with James and his wife and my wife. And the first thing that I thought of, you know, you're a business owner, when the first thing you think of is, man, I wonder what their insurance policy looks like for this place. But I mean, it's a fun time. We were there for 2 hours. We learned how to throw an axe. And then we played different games. There's like King of the Arena, where you had the best score on the target. And then there's like 21, where you had to, with you and your partner, had to throw on the target and hit the different points up to 21. But it was a good time. It was fun. If you get a chance to do it, I'd recommend doing it. It seems like a good team bonding thing. And then also just fun throwing axes and whatnot.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to take a look at that here locally. I wanted to ask you, if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
My wife jokes with me that I'm Italian because my most favorite dish ever, and it doesn't matter where I go, is probably chicken Alfredo.
Okay.
I love chicken Alfredo with broccoli and that creamy sauce and the noodles. It's my favorite thing, and I could eat it almost every day, and I almost do eat it every day. People joke with me that, you know, am I ever going to order something different when I go somewhere? I'm like, no, this is my thing. This is my ride or die.
Well, if you guys ever come to New York City, be my guest.
I will. I'll hit you up if I do. That's for sure.
So, Chris, I want to ask you, what is your biggest pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve probably stems from my mom beating it into me, is no communication. Well, that and being dishonest, but I think they go hand in hand. I don't say I'm a master communicator, but it's something that over the years I have grown into being somebody that tries to over communicate, whether that's what I'm doing as a professional in your home treating, or that's just trying to give instructions to friends and family on the activities that we're doing, you know, on our off time. I think effective and proper communication solves a lot of headaches and problems that can happen in life and business. And providing communication to somebody and not getting that reciprocated back to me is something that just grinds my gears. And then just being dishonest, you know, there's no reason to be dishonest. Just tell me. I'm not going to be mad if you make a mistake or break something. If you just tell me, we can fix it and move on, versus me having to find it or find out that you're lying to me about something, and then now I have to deal with it later. And then I guess on top of that would probably be promptness and being on time. My dad is in the Navy. Something that he's always instilled in me is being on time, but not just on time, but early. You know, it's the whole, you show up 5 minutes early, you're on time. If you show up on time, you're late. So it's just something that's always stuck with me, and I'm always prompt. And it's something that has kind of irked me being in South, because, you know, growing up, I've always been on time, always been prompt, tried to be early if I can, or on time at all costs. But living down in Kentucky, people live on country time a lot of times. So it's funny, I'd be stressing out about running late, and I'll call somebody and be like, hey, I'm running 15 minutes late. They're like, that's it? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, no problem. Show up. So whenever you can get here. But on the flip side of that, when you're expecting something, you know, people have an idea that you say 12 o'clock, it means anytime from 12 to 1. And so that always irks me. If I say 12, I'll try to be there at 12, at 11:45. That's just how I'm wired.
Well, that's a good thing to be. You know, a lot of people will appreciate that. You know, one of my biggest pet peeves is unprofessionalism. And yep. That really drives me crazy, especially in the industry.
Oh, 100% agree.
Chris, I have one more question for you. It's a two-part question. I would like for you to touch on what and when did you know that you were going to start your journey in the journey?
Well, I guess the what is I was just dissatisfied with the company I was at, and I have a skill set and that I know I can take anywhere with me. And shopping around, I saw that nobody was going to compensate me for what I feel like I'm worth. And the only way I could potentially get up to that compensation is by going out on my own. I know it's not a quick thing that I can get to, but over time, if I stick with it and make it successful, it will reward me in the end. The win, I kind of knew couple years ago that it's something that I should do, go out on my own and start my own journey. But I didn't listen to my gut, and I didn't listen to other people telling me that I should start on my own. So the win ended up being, I guess, a couple years late when things just weren't good, and I don't think it was fixable. And so what I should have done was just go out before when I thought of the idea, versus waiting until pretty much I was pushed out. And then if you weren't talking about me starting my own business, but the video series, the what was because I want other people to know why I started my own business and then how I started my business and what I did and steps that I took throughout my journey. And the win was kind of just one day, me and James were talking and we had a lot of great ideas and things that I told him to think about and things that he told me to think about. And I was like, you know, why am I going to keep these ideas and thoughts in my head? That's not going to help anybody else. But let me help other people, maybe potentially by airing it publicly so that people, one, don't think they're alone. And two, maybe they have that same question. And the answers that we come up with could be the answer for them. That could save them a lot of headache. So that was probably a couple weeks ago that I thought of that. And I'm sometimes a procrastinator, but I just started like last week with the series, and it's just short 3-minute videos that I hope will be helpful to people.
So Chris, speaking about, you know, your videos and so on and so forth, I want to commend you on doing that because not many people have the fortitude to go that route. So I just want you to put out there, for anyone that's looking to follow your videos, follow you on Instagram, TikTok, get in touch with you, business-wise, your website, anything that, you know, all your social media handles, how does someone get in contact with you?
Yeah, sure, Vinny. I'm pretty findable. You can friend me on Facebook. My name's Christian Allen. Allen is spelled with an A, so it's A-L-L-A-N. Or you can follow me on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter, and my handle is cdallen76. And then my phone number, if you guys ever want to call or need anything, the business number that you can text or call to is 502-219-4688. And then my company name is TaylorMade Pest Control. You can find TaylorMade on all the platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. It's just at TaylorMadePC. And my website is www.TaylorMadePestControl.com. And you guys can also email me at Christian@TaylorMadePestControl.com.
Cool. All right, Chris, I want to say thank you, actually a big thank you for coming on to the Pest Equity Podcast. You were an amazing guest, and I wish you all the best in the future. Again, you know, keep in touch, and I wish you nothing but the best. So, guys, don't forget, go follow Christian Allen on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. Hit him up and show him some support.
Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in to another great episode of Pest Equity Podcast. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram. And we'll see you all on the next episode. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to another great episode of the Pest Equity Podcast. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Pest Equity Podcast and join the Facebook group. Have a question or topic for the show? Shoot us an email at pestequitypodcast@gmail.com.